Howdy, folks. This is Andy with Odd Trilogies. I'm here with Logan, and
hello, everyone.
We've got another quickie coming out. That means we're talking about our first impressions, our immediate reaction right after seeing the movie.
If you don't think we're dedicated to these, I want to let everyone know that we are in Andy's car right now. It is 11:08 p.m.
We're in the recording studio.
Yeah, we're in the usual recording studio, which is Andy's car, and yes, we're doing another quickie. We said for our Bark Riders quickie that we'd have another one, probably a fast turnaround, because today we are talking about Horizon, the American Saga, Chapter 1, which will tie into our second trilogy in July, which is the, we don't have a full title just yet, but basically Kevin Costner's directorial debuts, per se.
Up until Horizon, his only feature directorial efforts. So this is, in a way, a little precursor to that.
Yes. A return to form for a man who hasn't done a directing film credit in about
20 years
almost.
Just about, yeah. Horizon, an American Saga, Chapter 1, marks the, obviously, first chapter in what has basically been Costner's, like, little... not little, big kind of pet project over the last few years that he's been trying to get made and has sunk much of his own money into. It's billed as kind of a big Western epic, hearkening back to the classic Westerns. And we've got two chapters scheduled for release, both of them this summer. Chapter 2 will be out in
mid-August.
Middle of August. And Costner also revealed at Cannes Film Festival when he premiered Chapter 1 that he's actually planning four chapters to the Horizon saga. So this is our intro to it, and we'll see where it goes from here.
That's the kind of the most fascinating part about this, is because when Andy and I first were thinking about doing Costner's director, you know, trilogy in terms of his initial directing films from Dances with Wolves, Postman and Open Range, we only, we were excited about doing it, not because it's just, not only just because it's a fascinating trilogy in its own, but also the fact that, like, Horizon was his return to form, and at the time we were like, oh, he's doing a double feature. That's kind of rad.
Yeah.
And then only to find out a month or two ago that it's going to be a quadrilogy.
right.
Makes it a... perplexing, but still very fascinating.
And maybe all the more perplexing now that we've actually seen Chapter 1.
Yeah. We want everyone out there to make it clear that again, when you go out and see this, whether you're a huge Costner fan or you're just a big Western fan and you're morbidly curious, keep it in mind what we are talking about today. We are talking about part one of possible four parts.
Yes, and part one, this chapter one, makes it very clear that it is only a part one of what feels like it's going to be four.
Yeah.
Just based on how much ground we actually cover and how much is clearly set up to be dealt with later.
Yeah.
I guess this first one... It's a little tough for me to articulate exactly my feelings on it, because it's hard to review a film for potential.
I mean, I will give Costner this. In all the things he's directed in his career, this is probably the most bold, because of the three films we'll talk about in July.
Yeah.
They are all one and done's. They are not parts of any franchise.
Yeah. This is ambitious.
They were not planning on doing a Postman 2 or a Dances with Wolves 2 or anything with Open Range. Like, genuinely, this man has come back out of directing purgatory, or retirement, if you will, to basically put all of his chips on what I assume is what he expects to be his magnum opus as a director.
Yeah, I would think.
Because after, like Andy said, it's hard to really talk about arcs or character development in a way that, like, feels like, oh, part one, chapter one is its own film. Because in the fact of the matter is that it isn't.
Yeah.
Like, this very much feels like you're watching a TV show and you're going, okay, episode one was pretty good. let's see if it can either keep that momentum or get better.
Yeah, and
it's like 3 hour episode one.
And I think the biggest knock against this movie, the thing that's kind of fundamentally the issue here, is that I don't think there's a whole lot to latch on to.
Not in this one, I don't
think. There's a lot set up that could be interesting, but like Logan said, there's almost no sense of like resolving anything or even like kind of getting over a hill in somebody's arc. It's really, I mean it, 100% set up. Every minute of this movie is set up. There is no resolution. There is no... There's not even a climax in this movie.
No.
There's no climax.
No.
Like, there's no end of the beginning feeling here. Kind of like in, like, you know, a classic example, like Fellowship of the Ring. There's the whole river battle at the end of Fellowship of the Ring, where it's like, okay, clearly the journey is very far from over, but we got over this.
Yeah.
Major obstacle.
I would.
There's nothing really here like that.
Yeah, because again, if this was supposedly four parts from the very beginning in Costner's head, we're not gonna spoil the film. But I would love weeks down the line when the film has been out long enough that Costner's willing to talk about it. I would love to hear his mentality surrounding why he ends chapter one the way that he does.
Yeah,
because it is. I will say, there are elements to Horizon where if you're somebody who really liked the sensibilities of Dances with Wolves, or kind of like the feeling of how the tone at some points would be very brutal, but not in a way that it's totally dissonant with the lighthearted stuff sometimes, even when it gets close to being that way, there are moments in Horizon where it's like I was watching and being like, yeah, this feels like a film you don't make today.
Yeah,
like in terms of how Costner's approach is to it. And it's not a bad thing inherently, and it's not inherently a good thing either. It's just a very unique, almost throwback that, like, I could see being a lot more fun in chapter two. But as of right now, it's more like inklings of what could be.
The footage we have seen of chapter two, because the trailer for this movie actually includes a lot of footage that's not in this movie.
Yeah.
The footage we've seen for chapter two does look a lot more exciting. Then again, the trailer for this movie looks pretty exciting, and yet here we are telling you half of it's not in this movie.
Well, it's funny. And I think it's funny because I think maybe a lot of you listening out there will be like, well, I mean, you two got into the Costner directing films, and you know that each one of those films is like at least two and a half.
Yeah.
Like it's an, it is. Costner has never not been like a long form, quote unquote, epic period drama kind of person. That's true. But it is fascinating that now we are through the getting prepped for that trilogy, seeing his new take on how to pull people back in. And it is a lot of him doing kind of the same stuff, but also not fully committing to some of those ideas because he technically has three more films after that.
Well, and,
so it's fascinating in that regard.
And the ambition of those, you know, knowing that his vision for this is four movies, whether or not those actually come to fruition, his intent is to make four of these, really just makes it feel like, with how little actually kind of gets done in this movie, makes it feel like you should have just made this a streaming series, man. Like,
it is, again, that's,
and I don't know if
part
it's
two.
The years on Yellowstone he's put in that have kind of put him in that, you know, story structure headspace.
Yeah,
but yeah, like this really feels more like somebody cut together two or three episodes of a TV show into a movie.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. Like, genuinely, even after getting out of chapter one, now that we've seen what the foundation of Horizon and American Saga is supposed to be, even though I'm just kind of like, okay, this is what it's going to be, fine, I guess I'll wait to see until August.
Yeah.
It doesn't make Costner as a creative any less fascinating.
Oh, no,
because
it's still
interesting. The man is just like, as an actor and both as a director, it's funny just to see the fact that, like, he is on the poster for chapter one. I have no doubt he's going to be a prominent part in chapter two. But the fact is, since chapter one is a lot of setup, there are so many characters.
So many characters. And I know, like, none of their names.
I know one.
I know one.
One.
Hayes.
Hayes. Oh, I know two then. I know two.
Hayes Ellison, which is Kevin Costner's character, or as we called him, Hayes Horizon.
Or you said John Hayes Horizon.
Yeah, Hayes is his middle name. It's actually John. John Horizon.
Yeah, it's John and then Lizzie. Who is Sienna Miller's character's daughter, because... The big thing about, again, with Horizon, the best way I could describe chapter one is it is basically setting up four interwoven, quote unquote interwoven Western stories that'll ultimately seem to come together in terms of, you know, the tie, like kind of the format of they're all searching for a place called Horizon.
Yeah, the film opens with some settlers way out west trying to like literally lay the groundwork for a town that they refer to as Horizon, and then the rest of the movie we're kind of seeing these disparate factions of people making their way there or learning about it or whatever, and there are, you know, there are just civilian settlers, there are soldiers, there are hired hands, and there's a misfit family of outlaws who are stirring up trouble amidst all this. And of course there's also the indigenous perspective. I can't remember what was the did they say the name of the tribe, like the people?
They did. Again, I don't think they say any real names.
Like, not a lot
of
names.
If they do, it's once or twice.
Yeah, there's a few names tossed around across 3 hours, and it's like, difficult to grab onto. But yeah, I think that's another thing that makes it feel like a TV show is that sweeping multi-perspective thing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there are some main players, but it really is like every 15 minutes we're jumping to, you know, another plot and kind of cycling through these characters. So I found it difficult to get terribly invested in any of them. Mm-hmm. I think I found Costner's character, or at least the plot that he's going through, the most interesting, but maybe that's just because, you know, Costner knows that role. He's played similar roles before. He's comfortable in it, and he's good at it.
Yeah, he basically plays...
Plus, he's the badass of the movie.
Yeah, he plays a stranger that comes into a small town. Mm-hmm. He's coming in with a cattle crew, but clearly there's something more.
He's got some other kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and again, it's the one thing, too, that I think I can understand and why people who like this movie I can understand as well, is like the ensemble is doing a good job. Like, I do think
just
that,
not
like,
given a whole lot.
That's the thing, too, is, like, because
they're given a lot, and yet not much.
Because, again, I bet it's, like, I wonder how much of, like, chapter one was given to them, or if they got both of them as, like, this huge script, and it's, like, keep in mind, there's only going to be, like, do this and that. So they were aware of where their characters were going to be development-wise, kind of in the films.
Right.
But, like, every time I saw Sienna Miller, I thought she was doing a phenomenal job with giving only long looks across her way.
Yeah,
like she is just such a just stunning just face, especially when it comes to her acting, and just like watching her try to deal with like what she goes through, because she basically goes through a trauma early on in the film.
Yeah,
and just watching her try to, you know, get around that trauma while also trying to keep moving on, which is a classic Western trope, especially for a female character. And like, but like Sienna Miller, I think, does a good job with like being able to ground that character enough where it's like, I like this person. I wouldn't want anything bad to happen to them, but I wouldn't cry if they got, if they died. And that's most of the characters where it's like, at best,
like, I like you well
them,
enough.
Yeah.
But I'm not like attached.
Yeah, like
I think if this movie, aside from maybe Costner's character, if this movie just decided to off any current ongoing character, I would be like, okay, moving on to whoever's left.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only, like, Michael Rooker was nice to see. Like,
sure,
he was
putting
on an accent. The accent, I could tell he was trying to do an accent early in the film, and, like, it just wasn't coming through as much from his usual accent. Mm-hmm. But, like, he's a nice addition to it. Again, like, I think this is a film that if you go to this film because you are specifically a Costner fan or a Sam Worthington fan, a Rooker fan, or, like, a Luke Wilson fan, if you see all those names on the poster and you're like, I'm going to go see that film for that one person, I think you will be disappointed because, again, there's so many characters that have to just be introduced in 3 hours.
Yeah.
And also, guess what? There are still characters we have yet to be introduced because we both remember from the trailers there were certain people we were kind of curious if they were going to show up, and they haven't yet.
Yeah.
So the films themselves, again, it is we... Maybe we've only seen half of the cast.
Yeah.
I don't really know yet, but like...
And who knows how many of these people will last.
Yeah.
More than, you know, the ones we've already met may just be first halfers or something.
Because again, too, what's also fascinating about this, and again, at the time of this recording, I have yet to fully watch Open Range, and Andy's already done all of his homework for the Costner episode. But this feels like, Horizon feels like this is... the quintessential Western American dream film that Costner has been wanting to make for a while in terms of like the foundation about like Horizon. There probably will be a town that is officially called Horizon at some point in the series, but like clearly Horizon as a title for the film is supposed to, you know, signify the, you know, the American dream that is seen across the horizon while moving westward. In the late 1800s, you know, during the Civil War, post-Civil War, and the, you know, the benefits for people that were able to expand and also the downsides in terms of taking land from the Native Americans around that, as well as, you know, war and, you know, starvation in terms of not knowing the land. And
you know. I mean, it feels like his goal here is in one piece, in one body, meaning all four chapters, he wants to kind of create the Western to end all Westerns. To kind of cover almost every archetype or subgenre of Western out there. Like you said, he's kind of covering every base in terms of subject matter commonly covered in Westerns.
There's still a part of me that...
It's interesting to see that kind of materialize as his goal throughout this movie, and yet to not really feel like this first chapter forges any identity of its own.
No,
I guess I would think my natural or my first thought, if I were setting out to do something like this big sweeping project that was going to, you know, not only homage the genre but, you know, kind of encompass it and be that definitive work in the canon, I guess I would kind of like chunk it out and kind of make each movie, you know, obviously the overarching characters is natural, but like I guess I would have thought maybe this first movie would have covered a certain material and kind of have a little bit of a door closing on that, or at least some sort of resolution on that first piece, and then the second piece is about something else, and then and that doesn't really feel like what's happening here. It just feels like he's got 8 storylines going on, and we're going to get part 1 of all 8 storylines in this movie and part 2 of all 8 storylines in the next movie and part 3, you know, and it's like, that's what makes it feel like a TV show, I think.
Especially since we know that he hasn't done 3 and 4 yet.
Yeah.
Like, I'm curious to see if 2 is a resolution overall to some
Yeah,
of
will
these
it be like the end of Act 1? Is that what it'll feel like?
There's still a part of me that feels like there could be a time jump involved with 3 and 4. And
sure,
being
I mean, again, if 2 ends with them, like, finishing Horizon or something, and then there's a time jump, and then 3 and 4 are about, like, the conflicts that befall Horizon,
because again, when I think
that would make sense.
When I think of American Saga 2 in terms of a title, it's like, it could be... like a Steinbeck-esque generational story, as well as also if you were, like you're saying, if he's trying to be like the Western to end all Westerns, not saying he should do the shootist, but it feels like something where it's like if you get to part 3 or part 4, you get to the latter half of like the Westerns where it's like, the early
1900s. Kind of deconstructionist.
The horizon isn't what it used to be, or maybe horizon's changing in the way where the establishing faction is like, you know, at a certain point, maybe kids in like part 1 and 2 are now in their 40s or 50s in part 4.
Maybe
and
Costner
like,
becomes the villain of it all.
Yeah, Costner doesn't age. I feel like.
Yeah, he's could you just imagine a, if it's he's part, a magical yeah, man.
It's
just...
part four. It's 1915, and Horizon still exists, and Costner's the same age as he is in part one.
He's like
chapter one.
He's just this immortal being who exists on the horizon. It or just on the frontier.
Yeah, there's a lot of aspects to Horizon where it's like, yeah, they don't really make it like this anymore, and there is kind of an endearing quality to that. But once that endearing quality kind of fizzles out for a little bit, it also is like, okay, what do you want to do next? Because the little bit I can see that, like, there is, again, it was funny too, because when the film ended, Andy was like, well, I don't know how we're going to review this unless on potential.
Right. Like,
like genuinely. Like,
I mean, we can obviously review it for what it is, but the unfortunate reality of that is that it doesn't have much unto itself. Like, there's some good, it's a solid ensemble. It's generally a pretty movie.
Yes, all the landscape stuff.
I will say the outdoor daytime landscape stuff all looks great.
Oh my God.
Do think you have to give credit to Mother Earth for some of that. That's just, you're shooting beautiful landscapes, so they're going to look beautiful no matter what.
Credit to Mother Earth and Costner's Yellowstone
paychecks
for being able to, like, you know, shoot that. Because, like, again,
there's a lot of shots in this that had to be, I think, intricately timed. In terms of getting the
season.
All the shots of the yellow forests, like, there's the yellow trees, looks gorgeous. Like, I'm sure they really had to kind of... survey their locations and get the daylight right and stuff, the location of the sun. But, like, the scenes that are either interior or take place at night, or even worse, interior at night, look very flat and weirdly, like, underexposed.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminded me of like a History Channel documentary when they have the like dramatization segments. It felt way more budget than when they were outside in the sunshine.
It kind of reminds me again of so far the two of the three that I've seen of the Costner films in our trilogy, where it's like both Dances with Wolves and Postman, at least like visually, are like pretty good, but it's not like it's not trying to push any boundaries in terms of like how can we make this look even more unique or different. Costner visually excels as a director when it comes to landscapes. You definitely see that man standing on like a hill at like 4 a.m. watching the sunrise and going, fuck, that's good. Roll the camera. And it's like
And then pretty much everything else is just like functional.
Yeah.
Not bad, but like kind of plain Jane, get the job done.
Yeah.
Okay, we're shooting a conversation scene. All right, this looks exactly how you'd expect it to
look. But you're right. If you took like an episode of like Hatfield and McCoy's, which also Costner's in, and you interject certain scenes from Horizon in it too, you'll probably see it's not again, credit to this film where it's due. Like, considering how much money Costner's put into this and how much probably New Line and other companies have put into this movie as well. There is very little moment when watching this 3-hour film where there was any CG that was noticeable or super bothered me. There are only two instances where I saw CG, and it wasn't even like, oh, that's bad. It was more just like, that makes sense why you use CG for that.
Yeah. The kind of opening sort of settlement attack scene at night, there's some kind of obvious like CG fire and sparks and things there. But for the most part, this looks like a very in-camera, tangible movie. I do appreciate that about it. And a lot of the action that's not in this movie but is shown off for the next movie also looks very real and very cool.
Oh, yeah. There's a cool-ass shot in the trailer for Chapter 1. Now we will say it's just Chapter 1 and 2.
Chapter 1 and 2 trailer.
Both, again, that Andy and I were like, that is something that people do not do anymore. That's really fucking cool, and I hope there's more stuff like that. And then, of course, we watched this movie and went, we are not going to get that shot in this movie. We'll get it next time, I guess.
And while we're talking about it, all this footage that's not in this movie, I think it's worth mentioning, without spoiling the ending for this movie,
yeah,
the structure of the ending is unlike anything I think either of us have really seen.
I actually pinpointed exactly what it reminded me of, and I don't want to say it on the quickie because if I do, people will go, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, but it does feel very, very on the next episode
Let's just say I haven't seen a modern film do that. Honestly, probably since like 2011.
Yeah.
And that's 13 years ago I'd seen a film that was like, oh, I guess we do that still.
Yeah.
And now it's like, sit there with Horizon.
Film just kind of, like, without announcing it, just kind of shifts into, like, teaser mode.
Yeah.
Right towards the end. And it's like, oh, okay.
At a certain point.
This is how this movie ends.
I think it was, I think Annie caught it right when I asked him this, but like when we were in the theater watching it, I turned to him and I go, how is this going to end in a way that it's like conclusive in some way or feel like, ah, that's the end of the chapter. Like it really, and you're like, I don't know, but I think we have like 20 minutes left. And then like when we got to that point, I was like, wow, okay. Right. I mean, I guess there are worse ways, less exciting ways.
Yeah, I mean, certainly to the movie's credit, to the ending's credit, it was like, okay, well, despite not really getting much out of that, the second part looks cool.
It does. Again, I'll
watch it.
I am not completely turned off about the American Saga. I want Chapter 2 to be... Well, now the bar for Chapter 2 is much higher than Chapter 1.
Yeah.
Because now that Chapter 1 is not the worst Costner film I've ever seen, fantastic. You've now hit that bar. You've jumped over it, done a few flips. Now Chapter 2, it's much higher. You're going to have to make me want a 3 and a 4.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be...
you really got to sell us going into the middle.
Especially when most people who are probably going into this are going to be well aware that this is the last thing you've shot. You haven't done 3 and 4 yet, so you really have to sell people on a story that warrants 2 more, possibly, but knowing Costner, 2 more 3-hour films.
Yeah.
So like a 6-hour event on top of the next film, which will probably also be 3 hours.
Absolutely.
So it's like, this is you, again... Only Costner, as a creative, could basically look someone in the face straight and with, like, no hesitation going, I want to make a 12-hour Western epic.
And we're not putting it on streaming.
We're not putting it on streaming, and I'm not going to do
it. It's a movie, damn it.
And I'm not going to do it, like, only 10% soundstage or some. Like, I could just see him being we have to make
we're
this.
Doing it for real.
Need to be a traditional... old school Hollywood film and just seeing some studio heads just like shit themselves.
Yeah.
Be like, Kevin Costner just asked me to make a film no one makes anymore. And we'll see. Like again, I would probably say I give this a 3 out of 5. Like a very light 3 out of 5.
I'm feeling like 2.5. Like a very I feel very middled by it because I'm like, there are pieces of this I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
The things you set up could totally be compelling, but also I didn't get much out of this experience, this 3-hour experience. I came away unsatisfied, ungratified, unthrilled.
I was whelmed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's
it
the best
is very
it.
Middling.
Which
and
is...
it is, it's going to depend on how it goes from here. It
is,
it's funny. Like, I'm, you know, kind of trying to picture one day when all 4 of these movies are out, assuming they all get made, this feels like the one that I'll, like, if all 4 movies make up for a great saga and I revisit this, this feels like the movie I'll just skip to get to the good parts. And in a way, kind of reminds me, this is going to be a strange... comparison, but in a way reminds me of like the first of the Evangelion rebuild films where I to go back and watch those, I would almost want to just start at 2 because that's when that kind of diverges and and goes interesting in its own way. And this could be a similar thing where it's like part 1 is all set up, doesn't offer you a whole lot, and then 2 maybe gets to all the satisfying stuff.
Yeah. I think what other thing it depends too, because with the Evangelion rebuilds, it's like that first film is basically just reminding you of what you like. Yeah. And then with Chapter 1 of Horizon, technically it also does that, but it's less about the actual characters and the actual plot, and is more just a three-hour film being like, don't you just remember how much you liked westerns like this? And it's like, yeah.
Which may not be as effective at saying that as Costner thinks.
I was like, yeah, I guess, but like, okay, like, what do we want to do next after that? And so it shows this is a film that's a good example of why most studios or why most creatives, if they want to do a franchise or do more in something, they will still, they make a solid first film that stands on its own. So when a studio is like, we would like to make more, you go, well, it just so happens if I pull out from my back pocket, I could do a trilogy or I could do another
one. Right,
right. Seeing this, it's like, yeah, at least you can clearly see that, like, you know, if we go down to the point, basically, if we get to chapter four and chapter one is my favorite one, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
So that is where I'm at now.
I think if we even get to chapter three and chapter one is my favorite, I might bail at that point.
Yeah, like, probably. Yeah, at that point, it's either that or sunk cost. But yeah, I mean, again, it is, if you are a big Costner head and you're just excited that Costner's doing a directorial, you know, return, like, I think it might be worth watching in the future. Yeah. Maybe when part two is also out.
Right, right.
I think once you could maybe do a 6-hour double feature, if you just like really, if you have a Saturday to yourself.
You know the AMCs are going to be airing double features of this one.
Could you imagine with chapter four, when chapter four comes out, if it comes out, if they do a 12-hour
all-day marathon.
The
Horizon Marathon. Tune in.
Like, it goes from like from 3 p.m. on Thursday to like Friday morning, like at 12 a.m. is when they play. Could you? Thank God they don't do midnight showings anymore. Could you imagine if they did this?
Yeah,
Horizon. Yeah. That'd be so funny. But yeah, I mean, again, we don't regret seeing it, but we are curious to see if Chu can even, you know, what is it going to bring to the table?
Yeah, it's got to do something big. Yeah.
Especially for you, because, like, you know, the benefit that you going into this almost to a degree is that you've seen a Costner film that really grabbed you.
Right, yeah, I mean, coming off of Open Range, which I really, really enjoyed, and, like, honestly, that feels like Costner doing the quintessential Western, and he did it really well, mm-hmm. and I was really impressed.
I'm excited to
see this movie for that reason, because it was like, oh, well, if he's going to revisit Westerns again... Yeah. And do this sweeping quintessential saga.
And
20 years later, he's really got something here. So part one definitely kind of left me wanting in the excitement regard that Open Range gave me.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that more on the trilogy itself.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's Horizon.
That is Horizon, American Saga Chapter One.
-Chapter 1. Yeah, yeah. We'll be doing this again in a month and a half.
yeah, we'll probably do another quickie for that. Might as well. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we've got, let's see, up next we've got our Shannon Nichols sampler trilogy.
That is coming up.
That'll be on the 13th.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll have our Kevin Costner trilogy on the 27th. I think between now and then, we will probably have reviews of Maxine, which I think Logan's going to do, and I want to do a review of Long Legs, the Nicolas Cage scary movie.
Yep. And I'm not going to hold Andy to this, but if, I mean, maybe,
no,
seriously, but like, if one of us does a write-up of Horizon in the near future, like,
uh-huh.
We're not gonna put that on the schedule, but like
we might.
Yeah. There could be a possibility that maybe, you know, the passion hits us sometime in the next week or two, where it's like, I want to really fully talk about how I felt.
Sure. Yeah.
Because again,
there are a lot of thoughts that we can't really get into on a spoiler-free review.
Yes, it's even though there wasn't a lot that happened in those 3 hours, it is still a 3-hour film.
Yeah.
With
a lot of questions coming to mind.
A lot of questions and a lot of interesting choices in terms of performances. Who got the spotlight is definitely the most interesting parts of chapter one.
Because it
warrants the question, is this person getting a spotlight because, one, we'll never see them again? Or two, because other
major
characters
players,
might sneak into 2, 3, 4. But yeah, there it is.
Yeah, that's Horizon. So we'll see you when we see you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Logan Sowash.
And I'm Andy Carr.
Bye.